deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 32 of Flashpoint. As always, great to be here, and this time on a fairly chilly autumn night for those of us down this end of the world. I'd like to obviously welcome two of the guys that make this podcast worth listening to. Ed, how are you?
I'm alive. I'm aware. I'm awake.
And maybe a little bit warmer. Maybe a little bit warmer than us, although in Canada, it's actually probably pretty similar at the moment. Simon, how are you?
I'm feeling really relaxed. I went on a very nice 40-minute balloon ride over the Dune Sea today, so it was very nice. The only thing missing was some sort of champagne or beer or canapes, maybe.
So for a minute, I thought you were talking about a balloon ride in Star Wars over some Dune Sea, but what Dune Sea is there?
Tatooine.
Oh, okay, so you were talking Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you might have done a nice Victorian balloon ride, and I'm thinking, where are the dunes in Victoria? But yeah, anyway, there you go.
Oh, I'm sure there are some, somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I think
but
it's
who
called,
cares? That's real life.
I think the Dune Sea is called Geelong. So let's get straight into Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Republic News.
So since we last talked a fortnight ago, I'd actually argue it's been not slow news fortnight, but one of the most notable things has been how stable the game has been, in that, you know, the server downtimes on a Tuesday have only been 4 hours. Usually the servers have actually come up under the 4 hours, which is always a nice surprise. And to give big credit to BioWare, they're tending to bring them down at about, in Australian Eastern Time, 5 p.m. and they're up by usually 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. at the latest. That's pretty civilized, because most people are still able to play that evening. Certainly shits all over World of Warcraft with their extensive downtimes. Starting with you, Simon, are you just finding it's all pretty stable at the moment?
Yeah, on the whole, I'd have to say it is. I've still got the weird eye effect going on. But game stability in load time seems pretty good. I did have it crash twice on me over the weekend, but I think that's more to the fact that I've been playing a little bit too much and the computer had been on a bit too long. But yeah, on the whole, I think it's generally seems to be improving and becoming far more rock solid.
Yeah, agreed. Ed, what about you?
Well, I've had the actual servers seem to work fairly well. My internet connection has been spotty on occasion, so, you know, get disconnected, or the thinks that I've been disconnected, and then my firewall was doing something funky, so it kept disconnecting me in the middle of games or raids or whatever. That was really annoying. Yeah, the actual game itself seems to be working. They fixed a couple of issues that I had, and I still have no idea what caused it, but it started you 10 seconds into the space missions every time. So it wasn't something on my end, I don't think. But, you know, if you start 10 seconds into the mission, you can't finish all the bonus quests. And it's kind of, you know, wait a minute. Oh, guys?
Yeah, no. So, but you're right. I think it's definitely been on a continuum of improvement, and hopefully it only continues to get better. But and for those that listen to this prior to Tuesday, the 8th of May or whatever it is, yeah, so Tuesday night's just another bog standard downtime, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time. Western Australians do it 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. and New Zealanders do it 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. So New Zealanders probably cop the rawest end of the stick there, but even then it's still some playtime potential. So, yeah, very civilised. And as far as server transfers, so for those of us that were eligible for the free server transfers, most of us are now over, and I say most of us because there's still, and I don't know how many, but I know on a couple of forums there's still a handful of people complaining that they haven't transferred. It's far from the majority. My guess is there's maybe 5% issue, but for those 5%, it's a biggie. So customer service apparently still working with them, and hopefully it's going to be sorted. But for those that have made the transfer, everyone's happy chappy. Throwing to you again, Simon, I think from memory last time, were you already on one of the local servers anyway?
Yeah, I created a couple of characters locally just so I could play on them, and really just left the what I regard as my main character on one of the US servers, hoping that the free transfers would come soon. And I got to say, the process was, after the initial glitch I had where everything was greyed out, from that point on, it worked very well. Got a very punctual response from customer service, one of the droids. And yeah, I found it pretty flawless. I had one name conflict, which I had already been aware of, so it wasn't too big a surprise. But yeah, completely flawless from my end.
So as far as the customer service, it's interesting you say it was quick, because I put in a customer service request when I was having issues. I think it was on a Saturday, and it was the following Wednesday after they had the downtime and my transfer had actually gone through that I actually got a response.
Oh.
And the response didn't recognise that it had gone through successfully. So I think there's some variance.
Could
in,
be.
In the customer service.
Because I put my – I tried to do it one evening, didn't work, sent in an email, and I got a response next day at work. So it was pretty prompt from my standpoint anyway. One of the lucky ones.
If I can speak to that, we didn't have an issue with server transfers, but a group of my guildies and I, we went after the Nightmare Pilgrim on Voss, which is the ultimate end level boss critter thing, and he bugged out and we couldn't summon him. So, we were all justifiably annoyed, because in order to do this, you have to use an item that that costs 30 daily commendations, which means you had to do 30 daily quests to get that item. And we're all a little ticked off about that. I got a response within 24 hours about that. It might have been because all 16 of us submitted tickets at the same time. But they are trying. I have to say that the customer service that I've gotten for this game is totally different from the customer service I've gotten for the other EA titles that I've played. These people know what they're doing, and they're trying. But I think that the volume is just so much more than they're used to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you had me worried there when you talk about car. I thought you were going to go to Ubisoft again, so I'm glad we avoided that one. And as far as the actual servers, no, I'm just talking over the top of you. As far as the actual servers, there's obviously good traffic on the three Asia-Pacific ones. I actually had sort of predicted that they would have to put on extra servers, but they haven't done so, and it doesn't. I mean, I've had a queue once. One weekday evening, I logged in and had a queue of about 72. So which, you know, took 3 or 4 minutes and I was in. So I think they're on the borderline of needing to do it, but obviously not that crowded that they've had to put another one online. Or maybe it's part of a wider server merge, because there's still no shortage of people screaming for that. Either of you guys still agree there's still a lot of people screaming out for server merges?
There do seem to be a fair few people in the States. But only specific ones on some servers that do seem to have gone a bit tranquil, shall we say.
They've gone a bit daft. Yes, I can see their point. Yes, I can see that it's an MMO. You're supposed to be playing it with other people online. And yes, it can be really annoying when you want to get a group together. You only have a certain amount of time to play, and there's nobody else on. I walked into the Ebon Hawk fleet yesterday morning, and there were three people on the fleet, counting me. But it was probably because it was at 5 o'clock in the morning my time. Nobody else on. Or everybody else had just logged off from doing their raids or whatever.
Yeah. But, no, I think that there's some indication of a wider issue there. You just hear people talking about it all the time. Whereas, the local servers, you know, I'm on Voss at the moment. I'm just about to hit level 47 in a little while. I've made a bit of progress the last few weeks. And, there's between 24 and 40 people just on Voss at any given time, which is nice. I'm actually doing the heroics fairly easily, whereas I tend to skip a lot because there's just no one around to do them. So, pleasant conundrum to have for our end, but hopefully it improves for everyone else.
Maybe they need to borrow a line from SOE's book and put in super servers.
All right, so let's go there. Explain that to me.
Heresy.
Oh, you... okay. DC Universe Online, another MMO, had a good initial reaction, then the whole thing died off fairly quickly. So it was... most servers were a ghost town. It would be a red letter day when you actually saw someone else. And I have to admit, I had a tendency to chase after them just to make sure that it was someone else and I wasn't seeing things. And then what they ended up doing was talking about super servers, which is effectively a server merge. But instead of cutting it down from, I can't remember how many servers they had. But basically, they ended up just cutting it down into four servers, one for the US PC and everyone else, one for PlayStation US, and then same PC PlayStation thing for Europe. And basically, when you get right into it, any server in an MMO isn't a server, it's an array. So that's the whole principle of having these things scalable, is you can add more hardware or take hardware out in order to accommodate the amount of traffic. And I think the situation that they've got at the moment with Star Wars is too many separate arrays. And obviously they're being very reluctant to do anything that smacks of a server merge, because of course that's all the negative PR that goes with it.
Yeah, true. And I just hope that they don't go to having a US server, a European server, and a PlayStation server, because we'll know they're up shit creek if they're down to three. But yeah, I see what you mean. And yeah, I think there would have to be a major PR issue for why they're taking so long. I can't see why else. But anyway.
I think momentum will pick up again. We are still in very early days, and for those of us that have been watching this for so many years and obsessing over it, it seems like it's been around forever, but it's not very long at all.
Possibly obsessed with this game.
Yeah, exactly. But agreed. And on momentum, I actually think momentum is going up again. I think since 1.2, not that there was a huge decline anyway, but I think if there was a bit of a decline, I think they've turned that around with 1.2. I'm just mostly seeing people saying, yeah, unsubscribe for a while. I'm back in playing it, enjoying it. And The most fascinating for people that have a Facebook account, if you want to watch a raid crash most days, is check the comments every time Star Wars The Old Republic posts on their page. And it's just inundated with WoW trolls. But amongst all that, you're actually seeing a lot of positive comments about, yeah, really enjoying it now with 1.2 and so on. So that's encouraging. Speaking of the community, since episode 31, we've had two community Q&As. And I'll talk mostly about the one that came out this weekend. But again, to give credit, I feel like I'm being a bit of a fanboy giving BioWare all this credit. But the Q&A seem to be getting a bit longer. And someone's buzzing badly. Ed, it's you. Have you got the bolt in your head plugged into the PowerPoint or something?
How's that?
Yeah, that's better. I think maybe don't mute.
Okay, yeah, every time I mute, it seems to buzz. Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right. We don't all have bolts in our head. And I'm leaving all this in. I can't be asked editing it out. So you just got a nice behind-the-scenes glimpse, folks. So you're the community Q&As. They're getting longer, which I think is great, and they're answering questions. Obviously, they're still guarded, and there's a lot of, you know, we have plans for that, but we don't know when. Two of the ones that stood out for me this weekend were, one's a minor one, but I think it'll excite a lot of the end gamers, and that's the ability to duel on the fleet. So whether it's Republic or Imperial fleet, that you can do some dueling. But they're apparently looking into that. No time frame, and they'll probably limit it because they're worried about the impact of frame rate and stuff if, you know, there's 100 people dueling on the fleet with everything else that's going on. Ed, does that particularly excite you?
Well, with the lag issues that I've had on the fleet already, no. I could see it being, if it's in a specific portion of the fleet, like there's a training area on the Republic side, it's on the Gav Daragon. If you put it in there, sure. But then you'll have 50 people doing it in there and nobody will be able to see anything because, you know, the characters will be packed, you know, wall to wall.
Yeah.
I don't see an easy way around that. People want to be able to duel wherever they want to duel. So, you know, I don't know.
You just don't know.
I just don't know.
What about you, Simon?
I quite like the idea because, let's face it, most people these days seem to have an attention span. Well, I don't know how short it is exactly, but we'd be going into the nanoseconds here. So if they're not doing something... That's why I think the balloon ride over the Dune Sea is probably going to drive some people completely bonkers. I think it's a good idea because those people that just can't take a break and wait for something, I think need an area to do it. And if you were going to do that, I think rather than just have it general, because God only knows what that would do to frame rates and server load, would be to have like a designated, I don't know, something like an arena. And even better if that arena had some sort of spectator facility where you could either go and watch, or there was a cantina and you could tune into a channel, say, and watch the just a second, I've got a call coming in which I need to decline. Channels that you could tune into in, say, the cantina in the center of the fleet. Where you could nominate whether to watch activity in however many arenas or arena chambers they have.
Yeah, see, I love that idea. I don't think it'll ever happen, or not ever, but it'll be a lot of years off. But that would be superb.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it'd be kind of cool. That way, it also, if you got to know that people are watching and it's not just you and your buddy having at each other, I think that would that could stimulate some genuine competition rather than just random actions.
And you get a lot of interest from people like me that, like, I do a bit of PvP but suck at it, which means that I definitely never go in arena-related stuff because I just know I'll get my ass handed to me time after time. But I'm just as likely to check it out if I've got some downtime. So, yeah, I like that idea.
And even better, since borrowing a phrase, we're nailing things to the wall of crazy here, I'd also like to see some form of wagering facility so you could actually bet on the winner or loser.
Yeah. One thing that I think will happen, and Diablo 3 is going to be the absolute driver of this in the... not that Diablo is an MMO, but as such. Well, it sort of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
2D MMO. Is the whole way they're dealing with their, and I know it's not called the auction house, I don't think, but they're dealing with that as far as the ability to make real money out of it and cash in and cash out is my understanding. They're going to have to implement that across MMOs eventually. I mean, Second Life's done it for years, to the ability to, they have a floating exchange rate. Why not do it for this sort of stuff? And I know there are downsides and security issues and all that, but yep, you're on a roll tonight. Speaking of, you've just given your two cents worth, mm-hmm. BioWare obviously still, aside from the Q&As, asking for people's thoughts at the moment on what further playable planets they would like. So, I mean, that's a bit of an intro. And I'll throw to you, Ed, if you could have one planet that was coming up in an update as fully playable, or if not fully playable, a location that an operational war zone's based on, what would it be?
Well, I'd like one from the original movies. We've got Tatooine. We've had references to Yavin 4 in Knights of the Old Republic. And I'd like to see Bespin, actually. Now, admittedly, it'd have to be the city or something, but I'd like to see something focusing around Bespin.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea as well.
Well, initially I thought Dagobah.
That's what I wrote on the site, but I mean, what are you going to do there?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's a big swamp. So I thought Endor, and you can have a mini game of Ewok punching.
Yeah, see, Endor, I don't think, because it's a forest. Is there currently a forest world? Voss isn't such a forest world as such, just lots of pretty golden trees. Oh.
If I remember my lore correctly, the planet of Endor actually is vanished. Which, how that works with as far as physics and orbits and so on, does not compute, but I seem to recall that being the case.
Yeah, I think Ed wins out on Bespin so far. And someone on the post that I put up suggested, and I'm definitely probably pronouncing this wrong, but Krishik or whatever it is. So Chewbacca's home. Yeah, there you go.
Chewbacca's
home.
Yeah. And again, you know, in the cantinas, they could be live streaming that Chewbacca Christmas special.
Oh, I am going to kick you.
I know. I think this is the second or third time I've mentioned that on these podcasts, but it's just, you know, I can't resist. Well, I mean, it's good to know they're obviously entertaining the idea of more planets, as you would expect, given that they'll be doing further patches and updates and episodes and whatever. So, yeah, I think Bespin might have won out amongst all of those, although Yavin 4's good as well.
Yeah, but the thing about Bespin is it would have to be on Cloud City or a Cloud City.
Yeah, so you fly.
Because it's a gas giant.
Yeah. So you do a lot of flight. Oh God, sorry to talk about WoW again, but with Cataclysm they had a whole wind area and there's operations that where you just constantly fly around and stuff. So you could do that. Plus, imagine all the fart jokes and gas jokes and that you could make. Speaking of which,
you're winning me over with this.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I put a post up today. Pandemonium Guild, which is on the Darth something server, sorry, I haven't got it in front of me, have done a brilliant video set in Star Wars The Old Republic, and it's basically four guys standing around talking about bowel motions. Now, that may not appeal to a lot of people, but actually have a look at it. It's extremely well done, and if you don't mind a bit of scatological humour, it's really, really funny. So there you go. I'll put that in the show notes.
It seems very inconsistent, considering it's an entire universe that doesn't have a toilet anywhere.
Yeah, there is that. And actually, they tackle that issue. Actually, that's one of the main premises, and it's why it's worth watching, particularly the last 2 minutes. There's that whole thing about a whole bunch of races probably don't poo now, and imagine what would happen if they suddenly realised that they could, and what would they think of it. So it's very well done. So congratulations to Creep with a K for doing that, and that was posted up today. While we're giving shout-outs to the community, there's been some Oceanic Guild achievements. So obviously with 1.2 and the new Explosive Conflict operation, we've started to see some of the sort of more hardcore guilds starting to knock over things. The first one was Midian Guild contacted me early last week to say they'd knocked over 3 out of 4 bosses in hard mode, and we're pretty excited about that, and so they should be. And Remnants Guild later in the week actually knocked over Warlord Kephas in hard mode, so they've actually got through all of Explosive Conflict hard mode and they're about to tackle Nightmare mode. So well done to them as well. And for anyone that follows guilds, Remnants are probably one of the harder core guilds, and sort of they're very competitive and like letting people know how they're doing and competing against the other guys. So that they're pretty pleased with themselves as well. So well done to Remnants. What about your guilds, guys? You in Displacive Conflict yet? I haven't set foot in the place. Well, I'm not a level 50, so it's a bit hard to.
I'm not actually in a guild, apart from on the test server.
Actually, I'm not since the transfer, and that's not dissing the older gamers. I haven't rejoined with them or looked around. So, what about you? Well, you're definitely in a guild, Ed.
Yeah, and we've done Explosive Conflict a couple of times on hard mode, and yes, it is extremely hard. We've gotten up to Kephas several times. I'm not sure whether the guild's actually taken him down. I know we've taken him down on normal mode. I don't think we've taken him down on hard mode because there's just so many things, and then he has an enraged timer that pops up, and oh, every time he does that, he one-shots somebody. It's just boom. Okay, you're down.
Well, to place that in perspective as far as whether you've got it down in hard mode, Remnants were saying, and I actually didn't ask them how they confirmed this, but apparently when they downed Kephas in hard mode, they were the 27th downing full stop, or period in your language, Ed. So it hasn't been done very often.
He is very hard. And there's like four stages to the fight, and if you get anything at all wrong, your entire group wipes in about 10 seconds.
Yeah. So it's just
that's harsh.
Hard. Yeah, I'm going to go on a balloon trip instead.
You'll like it. Take sandwiches and don't sit down or you'll fall out.
I don't ask on the podcast. I don't even understand how you get to take the balloon trip, but I'll talk to you afterwards.
Easy. You just have to ask a Jawa.
Okay.
You don't even have to ask him.
You buy the ticket. He sends for the droid. The droid takes you where you got to go when you go on the balloon.
Well, very nice.
Okay, this is a different balloon ride. You'll have to tell me about this. Mm. The one I'm talking about is how you get one of the Datacrons.
Oh, okay.
Shucks.
Actually, we must talk about that one week about the approach to Datacrons. I've found a whole one, and I only stumbled across that, and I purposely not looked for them in that once I hit level 50, one of my next things is I'm actually going to do a Datacron run and actually pick up as many as I can. So I'm just interested. I think a lot of people try and pick them up along the way, but I see that as another whole fun thing, just going around all the places you've been and finding them.
That might be the right approach, because some of them are a bit tricky. Some of them take some serious thinking, unless, of course, you want to do a walkthrough. And a couple of them actually require there to be two of you in order to get to them.
Oh, bugger.
Except for the ones on the fleet, and that requires you to have four, of which you better have people who know what they're doing or you go into low Earth orbit.
Ah, no, I didn't even know about those.
Yeah, there are two sets of very high-end Datacrons that give you plus 10 to each stat.
Ooh.
However, before anybody starts jumping, on the Republic side, they're bugged. And you need to have, two crystal pieces and a specialized gun that you find at a vendor in order to do it at all. So, and then you need to have, I think, four people to run it. But there's one particular thing that you have to shoot with a gun, and it pulls you to the object, and it's bugged. So when you get pulled to the object, you go flying through the wall, and suddenly you're in orbit in space around the starship.
Oh, yeah, don't need that. I've fallen out of the game twice already this weekend, so.
Yeah, I told you it was a more stable game, though.
Oh, no, the game's fine. It's the fact I'm an unstable player and I insist on trying to go places that I'm not supposed to.
I think you're an unstable person.
Yeah, well, there is a bit of that too. But I have pills.
Yes.
I don't take them.
So we'll talk Datacrons, I'm sure, again some other time. And there are some great guides out there. And you mentioned about if some require thinking. I won't be doing thinking. I'll be doing walkthroughs. But yes, looking forward to that. Combat passes, one other thing that came out of BioWare in the last fortnight, and this sort of amused me a little bit, was basically them confirming, look, don't worry, if you use a combat passer, you're okay. you're not breaching the Star Wars The Old Republic terms of service. Now, we talked about parsers once. What a parser is something that takes the data from the combat log that's generated now since 1.2 and makes it readable for you to know how you or the group has gone. So for them to come out and say, hey, this won't breach terms of service, well, I think most people assumed that was the case, given that they very much touted the fact that there was a combat log and that they were welcoming people to pass the data. So I'm not quite sure why they felt the need to that, unless there was just a rumour going around that people thought they would be banned, or actually someone had actually been banned for, you know, hacking or add-ons or what, you know, third-party add-ons, not really realising what they were. So, I mean, I'll start with you, Ed. Does anyone in your guild actually use a parser for the data, or are you not that obsessive about it?
It's actually required when we run raids. We're trying to get as efficient as possible, and it does help. Well, it can help, or it can be a royal pain in the tuchus, depending on a number of things. But I've actually improved my DPS, my damage per second, significantly by looking at the parser information and saying, okay, yeah, I switch that for that, and then I hit that, and it would be good for that.
I mean, I agree. There's no doubt that if you're wanting to improve efficiency, they're invaluable. So, but yeah, someone obviously copped a bad run with it, or I don't know what went on, but in case you're worried, you can't be banned for using something that Bioware's encouraged. Who would have thought?
Technically, some people were saying on the Ebonhawk that it's, since it's a third-party piece of software, that it might, you know, it might violate something because you're not supposed to have third-party software trying to get into the game. You're not actually going into the game. You're reading logs that the game is generating, and that's not wrong.
No, exactly. And as I said, they're actively encouraging people to develop passes, so that's where I'm a bit amused, but there you go, that clarifies that. And also, speaking of 1.2 stuff, the user interface, we're really keen to get user or community submissions of cool ways of using the user interface to do what they need it to do, for whether it's Warzone's operations, whatever. We're just looking for some funky ways people use their frames to maximize their playing experience. So if you into that, just even if you Google Pimp My UI Tauros, it'll come up. There's a post asking and tells you how to submit, because we'd love to feature some of those and you know, allow your configuration to be downloaded, etc. So do touch base. And while we're touting for stuff, we're always after more writers for the site too. So we've got a good team now, but there's still some gaps we'd love to fill, particularly around healing, opinion columns, guild-related stuff. And our reader survey showed people would love a webcomic. If there's any artists out there that want to create a webcomic, I can link up with writers to write it, or if you want to do both, that's fine. And you can obviously keep copyright of your art and all that sort of stuff. Just touch base. Now, that's probably the news. Well, it's more than the news, so probably let's move on to Ed's lore update. Over to you, Mr. Ed.
Well, Wilbur.
Yeah, see, I didn't even intend that. As soon as I said it, I went, oh, you idiot.
Well, today is going to be a fairly short one. But a couple of people have asked me about this in-game, and I was just sort of a little flabbergasted. And then I realized that these people are probably coming through the public school system in the States, which right now sucks and is going to get worse. There's no question about that. With the previous administration's idea of every child left behind in the same gutter, it really has gotten bad. But, you know, to the lore. They asked me what a crystal was. Now, I just sort of like, okay, you're trolling me. You're obviously trolling me. But no, they're like, okay, we see these things in the game. You can put them in guns. You can put them in lightsabers. You can put them in stuff. What are they? And I'm sitting there going, huh? But okay, a crystal is a type of solid. I'm reading this straight from Wikipedia. Crystal is a type of solid in which the constituent atoms, molecules, or ions are packed in a regularly ordered repeating pattern extending in all three spatial dimensions. We've all seen crystals. Everybody's seen ice, right? Right, guys? You've both seen ice, right?
No, not in Australia. We don't have ice down here. It's just all desert.
Is it the kind you smoke?
Well, actually, some of those are crystals too. Oh. But
yeah, but look, for the sake of argument,
to involve you guys.
Yeah, for the sake of argument, yeah, we do have ice. Let's pretend we do have ice down here, and that helps you. Yeah.
Crystals are formed. There's all kinds of ways that crystals are formed. They solidify in this particular shape, and they're fairly common in nature. You've seen them even if you don't recognize them. But then they started asking, you know, what are the different types of crystals? And I sort of went, huh, read Wikipedia. And then they pulled up the file for it, and they're like, how many different kinds of crystals are there in Star Wars? Lots. There's the lightsaber crystals, of which I think there are 40-some-odd that are listed. And then there's the stygium crystals that are used for the cloaking devices. There are the force crystals that are used to amplify the force. The one from Splinter of the Mind's Eye. That shameless plug for one of David's favorite books.
I was going to say, I'd love that book, but anyway, I'll shut up.
Yeah, crystals are useful for a number of things, and they've been used for many, many years as focusing agents. A prism is a crystal. Most of us have probably seen prisms, at least, even if it's just in movies like Iron Man 2, where he's focusing the laser beam through the crystal and melting part of his house in the process. Crystals are everywhere. You'll see them just about anywhere in real life and in-game too. The in-game crystals are kind of interesting because there's multiple different kinds. You have power crystals, you have color crystals, and you have multiple different levels of each. And then you have to take those crystals and make them into something else. Using the artifice skill, you can actually take all the crystals you find around the area and make them into specialized crystals for your guns or your lightsabers or whatever. I haven't actually done it. I don't have an artifice character yet, but I know a couple of level 400 artificers, and they're really freaking cool, if also really freaking expensive. It's pretty much crystals. They're not really spectacular. They can be pretty. Or they can be, the one thing about a crystal you have to remember, in real life at least, is that while they are fairly hard, they're also fairly fragile. So when my mom started saying, you know, don't drop the crystal, don't drop the crystal, she wasn't so much worried about chipping it. She's worried about having it shatter and drop a big plate that's all crystal and the whole thing just goes, ah! And then you have to pick little pieces of crystal up from all over the floor. Ouch time.
That's always the favorite part of Christmas for me.
Yeah, but are you throwing it at someone or is it just being dropped?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's
what it's all about.
Put it that way. Yeah, so crystals are an integral part of Star Wars. They're most commonly used in lightsabers, but I just put a new one in my assault cannon that makes the bolts glow green with a black center. It's from the plague event. I finally found a gun that I want to put that in, so I put that in, and I'm like, I'm firing plague at you boys.
I mean, yeah, look, if crystals weren't central to the lore of Star Wars anyway, they certainly are after Star Wars The Old Republic, because, as you said, they're just everywhere, and they're pivotal for a whole bunch of things in the game. So there you go. I feel like I should put some music over this, like Angel of the Morning by Crystal Gale. And I've used the word Crystal and got Gale's mentioned in all in one bit. I was quite impressed with that. I spent ages thinking that up.
So, that's really quite sad.
Yeah. I think Crystal Gale wrote the soundtrack for the Chewbacca Christmas special.
Anyway, I think you might find that Angel of the Morning was done by Juice
Newton. Yeah, you're right, actually. See, I totally got it wrong. See, now I'm just embarrassed. But what else is new? You're right, it is. It's totally Juice Newton. Crystal Gale wrote something else. Don't Google it. Come on out there. I know you're all Googling.
No, I'm really not.
No, I'm pretty sure 99% of people are going, who the fuck is Crystal Gale? So anyway.
Well, we all know who Gale is.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you, Ed, as always. So we've covered Crystal, and I think was last fortnight Blasters? Was that last fortnight? You probably can't remember either, but it was really good.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a heck of a 2 weeks.
Now, before we get on to the last point, is there anything Star Wars The Old Republic related you wanted to talk about? Simon, you first.
Only to plug one of the suggestions that's cropped up in the forums as far as things that we'd like to see, and that's I really want to endorse and urge everybody to write to BioWare and say, multiplayer space combat now, please. Yes. I want that. I want it bad.
Shit. But I don't tend to do the space combat, so that's probably why I don't care. But I can see why people would want it.
It would be so much better. I mean, okay, if you've a bit obsessive compulsive and you enjoy repetition, then space combat's got an appeal there. But let's face it, it's not enough for most people. You're on rails. So there's not a lot of variation. So I don't know how it's going to stay fresh for long, apart from just trying to better your score or get that one last fight you keep missing. But if they could just add that extra dimension, even if there's two of you banging around basically the same tube effectively, which is what you're really playing in. You can move around, obviously, but only within a defined tunnel. If you could have another player in there just sort of banging around, and I think that would help. We'd give it extra life.
No, you're right. I mean, we won't get into it now. There's that whole argument. If they're worried about developing that, they're not developing other parts of the game, but then I suppose they're big enough to do both.
Yeah, but by the same token, you don't want a part of the game to languish and become pointless.
Yeah, see, I'll probably cop a bollocking for this, but I see the space combat as a bit like in StarCraft 2, where when you've got some downtime, you can play Galaga on the, I think it's on the like video machine in the rest area of StarCraft 2. I don't see it as pivotal to the game, but then I know people do.
No, it's not. I mean, it's, let's face it, in a lot of ways, you could probably compare it to just picking a random trade from a game that may or may not exist, fishing. But some people really like fishing.
Yeah, so you've totally defeated my argument, because I love fishing in WoW, and you're right, it's the same thing. But then also you can argue it's integrated into the game in that it's part of your tune and the way it behaves, whereas the space combat's slightly different, but then you do get in the spaceship. So no, you're right, and I suck.
You
get to blow stuff up in the space combat.
Yeah.
This is... maybe I'm just OCD. Maybe I'm just crazy. Actually, yeah, I know I'm crazy. Never mind. Don't answer that. But I enjoy the space combat, and I enjoyed the space combat, even the repetition of the space combat, which, yes, it is repetitive. But I keep trying to get through the upper three level missions without taking any damage at all, which is incredibly difficult. It's almost impossible, actually.
No. Well, it can't be almost impossible. It's either impossible or it's not by definition.
Okay, it's impossible. Yeah.
Okay, be that cool. Way.
You pedantic bastard. But yeah, you're a man of ideas tonight, Simon. That's why we love you.
At least someone does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ed, anything from you on Star Wars before we do the final point?
I was going to say something similar to that, but in my guild, we've actually been talking about guild capital ships. You know, what you could do with a guild capital ship, and one of the cool things would be if you could go out and PvP against enemy capital ships. How they could do that, what they could do. Would it be like Eve? Would it be like Star Trek Online? Would it be like something else?
Well, that's where you convert me. If you go into an Eve Online, we've got big capital ships doing sieges and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm totally sold on that.
I'm not sure how they would be able to implement that in this game as it is now, but if they do manage to implement a free flight PvP simulator, or even if they had a separate game that came out that could connect somehow to the MMO. Wait a minute.
Yeah, a bit like Dust and and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Why not just have two guild capital ships and just have them insert into an area like, make it open world PvP, but instead of you running around with your character, it's you running around in your spaceship.
Yeah.
Well, is it, so then would you be able to have boarding parties or launch into fighters to defend or attack the enemy capital ship?
Well, your ships would have to launch from your own guild capital ship. I don't see any reason why you couldn't. I'd have to have a bit more thinking about that, but I don't see any reason why some form of boarding party scenario wouldn't be possible, a game type that would include that.
Well, you guys get onto that, and I'm sure BioWare will appreciate your input too, particularly if you can develop it. If you could actually develop it, that'd be even better. But then I struggle with all this stuff in that every single time I play the game, I walk up to a bloody computer terminal that's the size of a car and go, hold on, in real life I've got a tablet computer. How the hell don't they have them here?
Because this is 3,000 years before our time. Well, actually, no. It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then 3,000 years before that.
Yeah, but how'd they do spaceships? If they had to fly computers the size of cars, even the space shuttle had smaller computers. Anyway, I know it's pointless. It just annoys
me. Because it's Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. Those ridiculous terminals shit me. How can you have them that big?
Because it's a stylistic thing, I suppose.
Yeah, you've never seen a military computer, have you?
Oh, but I tell you now, aside from your supercomputers, I agree with you, there are supercomputers, but the ones sitting out in the middle of a field near a tree in Voss ain't a supercomputer. It's usually the bum washing machine for the Voss brigade that are nearby.
How do you know it's not a supercomputer?
Because it says Voss bum washing machine. Yeah, well, that's just silly. That's bad use of resources.
Well, think of it as an ATM, if that helps you.
That's right. All right, so we're done with Star Wars. Before I do the shout-outs, we were going to talk about the Avengers movie because the two winners on this podcast have actually seen it and then there's one loser that hasn't. So, Simon, you haven't seen it.
Yet.
Yet. And sorry, to be fair, you're going to. So Ed and I have, before Ed gushes, I think it's fair to say that if you've heard that it's a good movie, then you've heard right. It's a lot of fun. But one key bit of advice I heard someone give is that if you go into the Avengers movie cynical, you're going to hate it. If you go in willing to knowing what it is, which is mindless comic book related storyline, it's just a shitload of fun, extremely well done, and one of the few movies I'd actually argue is worth seeing in 3D, even though you've got to pay the extra bucks, although the 2D I'm sure is fine as well, but the 3D was extremely well done. Gush away, Ed.
Assemble! I'm trying very hard not to gush. It's a popcorn flick. It's not intended like The Dark Knight Rises. It's not a gritty, satire or a gritty political documentary. This thing is about, it's a comic book movie. It's not supposed to be, A Streetcar Named Desire or, Shakespeare or something like
or
that.
Or Porky's.
Or even Porky's. This is about fun. if you go into it looking for, you know, deep, you know, character-driven drama and that kind of thing, yeah, there's some drama, there's some character development, but you're going to be disappointed. If you go into it wanting to watch the good guys beat the snot out of bad guys, it's just so, it was just so much fun. There were actually a couple moments where I thought the entire theater was going to stand up and clap. There were several moments where we actually did clap, just spontaneously applaud something that went on the screen, because it was just so perfect. It's just like, okay, yeah. The scene that was in the trailer, I'm trying not to spoil anything for anyone. The scene that's in the trailer between Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, and Tom Hiddleston as Loki, where Loki said, well, I have an army. And Stark is just, you know, drinking his scotch or whiskey or whatever the heck he's drinking. Well, we have a Hulk. And then Loki's like, You're like, okay, yeah, that works.
And I mean, don't be too worried about spoilers, because we'll put a spoiler alert, anything here on in. If you haven't seen the movie, don't listen. But yeah, the humor thing, the trailers don't look at the trailers, and if you look at the trailers, you think, oh, that probably gives me a good idea of the movie. It doesn't. So no. It's nearly 2.5 hours, and the trailers have done a great job of getting you excited about the movie, but it's bugger all indication of the whole scope of the movie. The
absolute best scene in the movie was actually put in the trailer for good reason, because it's just so perfect. The battle has begun, the dark forces of darkness are approaching, the Avengers have assembled, and the heroes are ready to fight, and Cap is giving orders to his guys, you know, Iron Man go there, Thor go there, Black Widow and Hawkeye go there, I'll handle this. And then he turns to the Hulk. Hulk, smash. And then everybody in the theater just said, yes!
Yeah, see, we're much more.
And then the big green grin, and you're like, okay, it's on.
See, we're much more conservative down here. We just nodded and watched calmly. No, actually, there was a bit
yeah,
of
right.
There was a bit of, there's a lot of laughter, put it that way. So yeah, definitely get out and see it. A lot of fun. And for those that do follow Marvel Comics and stuff, Stan Lee does continue his run of cameos, but not...
Almost missed it this time.
Yeah, well, it's not right till the end, and I won't give it away any more than that, but that was my obsession, given that I'm sort of still excited about meeting him at Comic-Con. But, yeah, he does make an appearance, all 87 years of him. So, Avengers, 4 out of 5 Vos Mystic stars. Well, probably 5 out of 5, actually.
I would say... For, you know, it's only May, so we haven't had the rest of the year's worth of movies. We haven't even had any of the big summer blockbusters yet. But this is easily the best movie that I've seen so far this year.
Yep, agreed.
Easily.
And Simon, we'll be following up with you in a fortnight to see what you thought of it.
All right, you're on.
Excellent.
And I, like Ed, will totally, completely, and utterly... avoid gushing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, right.
It's good. Passion is good. Well, if you're on the dark side, you have to think passion is good.
Just what the best? I think the best. The best interpersonal stuff that goes on. There's interpersonal stuff between all of the characters that's very well done. Josh Whedon did an incredible job of bringing these characters not just to life, but to, you know, they all have their own personalities. They're all very strong personalities. So they all are butting heads and bumping into one another. And it's just, but the interaction between Nick Fury and Captain America is probably just, it's understated much of the time, but just every so often you're just like, okay, yeah, wait a minute, what did he do? Okay, yeah, he did that. That works. Because it just, you know, it takes you by surprise every so often.
Yeah, no, that's true. And plenty of surprises. Probably the two, and again, spoiler alert, two that stood out for me was Iron Man turkey slapping Hawkeye and the Hulk dying. But beyond that, sort of a lot of it was predictable comic book stuff, but there's some surprises.
You would try to mess things up, don't you?
Yeah, I didn't want to mention the Hulk dying, but I couldn't resist. Sorry, Simon.
That's okay. I've just been repeatedly taking my headphones off.
David is trolling you.
The turkey slapping's true. If you missed
it,
you must...
The Hulk cannot die. The Hulk, when you hurt the Hulk, he gets madder. When he gets madder, he gets stronger. When he gets stronger, things go crunch. Right?
Yeah, no, that's true. But it was worth a try. So we're done. Thanks, everyone, as always. I won't even go through all the shout-outs, but we've got a Facebook page which has had a big increase since we gave away the Torn Pets, and congratulations to the 10 people that picked them up. They're all pretty excited with their win. We've got a Google Plus page. We've got the forums at toros.com.au/forum. And Twitter is twitter.com/SWTOROZ. We'd love your reviews on iTunes, and thanks to those that have done so over the last few weeks. That they make our day. And our email is contact@toros.com.au. If you're in a guild or got an idea for a story on the site, or you want to get on the podcast and have a chat, just let us know. And yeah, as always, great to have Simon and you and Ed here, and Mark is with us in spirit as usual. So, look, all I can say is that he works for a very specialist organisation that does undercover work, and for all I know, he could be sort of Julia Gillard's staff, chief of staff, for all I know, at the moment, trying to, you know, negotiate the budget on Tuesday. I might have given too much away there.
Yeah, maybe just a tad.
So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And until then, enjoy the game and talk to you soon.
See ya.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.